Republicans are calling the first primetime public hearing by the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th riot a sham designed to distract voters from problems like inflation. Last night, the two leaders of the committee presented their argument that for the first time in American history, a president tried to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power. They laid the blame for January 6th on President Trump and played new video of what happened that day. There was also dramatic testimony from Capitol Police Officer Carolyn Edwards, who described getting attacked by the rioters.
I'm not combat trained. And that day, it was just hours of hand-to-hand combat.
We also heard from Trump insiders who said the president knew early on that he lost the election, but continued to repeat false claims of election fraud. Then Attorney General William Barr told Trump's team those claims were wrong, and Trump's daughter Ivanka agreed with him.
I told them that it was crazy stuff, and they were wasting their time on that.
I respect Attorney General Barr, so I accepted what he said, was saying.
Let's bring in our politics roundtable to help process what we heard last night. Scott Wong is senior congressional correspondent for NBC News, and Margaret Talev is managing editor for Axios. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Celeste.
So, Scott, you were in the room last night. You were also inside the Capitol on January 6th, 2021. How did what the Democrats pulled focus to reflect what you saw in your experience?
Well, my experience was very limited in the Capitol, given that I was in the basement of the Capitol with not a whole lot of visibility of what was happening in the floors above. Many people, I think, in the Capitol were blindsided as to the number of people that were approaching the Capitol and also attacking police officers until, you know, perhaps many hours later did we realize the extent of it. But I felt that the documentary that they produced, roughly 10 minutes, was very compelling and really captured different vantage points that we simply, you know, as somebody being in a certain spot in the Capitol would not have been able to see. Of course, some of the more bombshell revelations were seeing for the first time video testimony from people very close to Trump's orbit, including his eldest daughter, Ivanka Trump, as you just played, saying that there were people in the highest levels of government warning then President Trump that the election lie that he was touting was wrong and that he should stop doing that. And of course, as we know, the president continued to perpetuate that lie. And, the committee is now making the case that because of that, it resulted in the violence that we saw on January 6th.
Margaret, what impressions were you left with last night? What were the biggest revelations?
Two of the most interesting revelations, Anthony, that I heard last night, one were Mark Milley's testimony about how it was actually Mike Pence who was involved with the call for the National Guard, and that the former president was very concerned about the narrative that it not seemed that Pence was in charge, that Trump should get credit for being in charge, even though Pence was the only one doing anything. To me, that absolutely goes to an essential part of this, which is like, what was Donald Trump really concerned about that day? And another element that I thought was interesting and we'll want to hear much more about next week was the idea that there were Republican congressmen who were trying to get pardons in the closing days of the Trump administration in case they needed them later for their roles and actions in January 6th. I think we'll be hearing a lot more about both of those. And one of the big questions is, the committee is trying to do a couple of things, but part of what they're trying to do is lay a historical record and make Americans understand perhaps elements that they haven't understood before about what really happened. I don't know how successful they will be at that. I don't think you can tell from the first hearing, but if you watch the coverage on Fox, which, you know, perhaps a third of Americans who are watching or so did, maybe more, we'll see those numbers shortly, you wouldn't have seen any of the hearings at all. They didn't carry live coverage of the hearings, they were on a split screen, and often the camera angles were kind of strange. You couldn't see the person who was talking. The camera was on somebody else. So there are a large chunk of Americans who never heard any of what was said last night anyhow. But part of what the committee may be doing is trying to put evidence together in a coherent way that the Justice Department perhaps may look at as it decides what next steps to take. And I think on that count, that's really a different question than messaging to the American people. And on that count, I think they have begun to put together some substantive new information.
Well, let's actually hear. You mentioned the Pentagon's top general, Mike Milley, and what he said about what was going on in the Capitol, about a vice president urgently calling for a National Guard from inside the Capitol. Let's hear that.
He said, we have to kill the narrative that the vice president is making all the decisions. We need to establish the narrative that, that the president is still in charge.
He's talking about then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows trying to create an alternative narrative. But, Scott, there seems to be a real focus on determining last night, at least begin to determine, how involved President Trump was in all of this. Republican Liz Cheney said that Trump had a 7-point plan to overturn the election. Did you hear any new information about Trump's role in January 6th?
I think the new information has to center on the discussions that President Trump was having with people in his inner circle. And as I mentioned before, this included family members, this included senior campaign aides, this included Bill Barr with a very direct conversation with the president. All of these people in his inner circle were warning him that he could not proceed down this path. And President Trump was insistent on going down this path and perpetuating this idea that the election was stolen, and even after all of these warnings, continued to do so. And so I think these are some of the pieces of the puzzle that we sort of knew about, but to see some of these individuals on videotape is quite something. Now, in the future, hearings starting on Monday and Wednesday, we are going to actually have some of the individuals who that this committee has been interviewing actually appear as in-person live witnesses in these hearings. The next one is scheduled for Monday, June 13th, that committee members say will examine the lies that led people to storm the Capitol. One witness who's expected to testify is Chris Steyerwalt, who previously worked as Fox News's political editor and had been extremely critical of some of his colleagues, anchors on air, who were continuing to perpetuate some of President Trump's talking points that the election had been stolen. So that will be certainly interesting, and we will be closely watching that.
Margaret, I want to pick up on a point that you mentioned a moment ago, the idea of how this will resonate across the country or in different groups of folks. And one of the most powerful statements of the night came from Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming. She offered this warning to her fellow Republicans that continue to lie about the election.
I say this to my Republican colleagues who are defending the indefensible. There will come a day when Donald Trump is gone, but your dishonor will remain.
Margaret, does this hearing do anything to change the political atmosphere in this country around the events of January 6th, or is Cheney increasingly on the outside of the Republican Party?
Well, it is unlikely to change the dynamics inside the House Republican caucus, and after all, that is her caucus right now. I think there are a number of Senate Republicans who are extremely uncomfortable with not just what happened on January 6th, but what the Republican Party has sort of been asked to do by the former president in the months, in the year and a half since then. Some of her messaging may be to them, to Republicans like Senator, Mitt Romney, for example. I think, part of what she is doing is trying to lay the groundwork beyond these midterms for whether the Republican Party is going to nominate Donald Trump in 2024 or someone who kind of perpetuates Donald Trump's storyline in 2024, whether the Republican Party will continue to be kind of a populist-based messaging in the style of Trump, or whether there can be some return to the bulwarks of the old Republican Party. That is part of her interest. I think part of it also is she just has nothing to lose at this point. She is going to say what she believes. She is speaking from the heart. She is speaking for the history books, and she is there's not a lot of political reasons for her not to try to shape the message that she wants mm-hmm. Republican voters, centrist mm-hmm. voters, center-right yeah. voters to understand.
Margaret Talib is managing editor for Axios, and Scott Wong is senior congressional correspondent for NBC News. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.